Theodore had made to transport his artillery wound in a great loop from the Bekelo River through the Arugi Plateau and on to Magdala itself. But that wouldn't do for Napier. It was too perilously close to the broken country bordering the Waki River, where the Abs would have all the advantage of ambush and surprise. The mere sight on the model of the beetling rocky sides of the Waki Valley gave me the horrors. Let them draw you in there, and you'd never come out. The only safe way was to take a long slant to the right and come to Arugi by the spurs running up through Afichu Plateau. It might mean some stiff climbing for our troops, but they'd be in fairly open ground all the way, which would suit our infantry and gunners if Theodore were daft enough to offer pitched battle. The key to the whole puzzle was plainly Fala. If Theodore put guns there, he'd be able to bombard our advance over Arugi, but our gunners could give him shot for shot, and once Fala was taken, the way to the Islamgi plain and Magdala would be open. And then it would be a question of so far so good and put up a prayer. You may remember pictures of Theodore's great amber. The illustrated papers were full of them in 68. It's what they call a volcanic plug, a sheer cinder of rock over 300 feet high, with only one precipitous way up, guarded by gates and ramparts. If Theodore was ready to fight to a finish and his gunners stood to it, Napier might never take that ghastly height. And his army, cut off and out of supply, would die at the end of nowhere. Well, that wasn't my indaba. My task was to see that the Galas did their stuff, and I'm bound to say they seemed eager enough. 50,000 and undisputed sovereignty over the Gala Confederacy might be the prize to Mastiat, but unless I misread the looks of her commanders, they asked nothing better than a chance to adorn their spear points with Theodore's courting tackle. "Where's Dejas Napier, do you know?" I asked.
3 days ago he was over the Takazi at Santara, a week's march from Magdala," says Fazl. "By now he will be close to Bathor, perhaps at the Jeddah Ravine. God providing, they should be across the Bekelo in 3 days, perhaps 4.
"Oh, 3 surely," cries young Ahmed. "If he knows we are with him, he must come like the wind."
"Even the wind must rest, prince," says cavalry. "They have come far and fast. And they lay 3 days at Santara so that the main force might close up with the advance guard," says infantry.
"But they are none but fighting men now," protests Ahmed. "They have left their slaves behind and will march at speed with only their guns to carry."
To a Gala, all camp followers were slaves, apparently. He appealed to me.
"They will make all haste."
"If they're well provisioned," says I.
"Your men will come to the Bekelo with full bellies," says Fazl. "The Delanta folk will see to it, out of hatred of Theodore."
"And love of my mother," insists Ahmed.
"Indeed, Highness," says Fazl tactfully,
and cavalry and infantry made loyal noises.
"Hear, hear," says I, and asked Fazl precisely how he would set about bottling Theodore. He traced an arc with his pointer south of Magdala.
2,000 scouts are already in place, and presently we will have a screen of cavalry from Guna to Lake Hike. Wherever he goes, it will not be southward."
It looked a hell of a long arc, more than 100 miles. "Your cavalry'll be spread mighty thin, then?"
"Not so thin," says he. "There will be 20,000 riders."
If I stared, do you wonder? That was 3 times the force that Theodore could muster, 10 times as many as Napier would use to storm Magdala. No wonder cavalry had said he could have cut Theodore to ribbons, and infantry had boasted of taking the amber with his foot soldiers. He spoke up now, nodding confidently to me.
"The cavalry will be a reserve, of course. They will not be needed. I shall have 3 regiments of spearmen deployed between them and the amber, should Theodore attempt to break out."
"Then you will have the chance to match tactics with Theodore," cries cavalry, winking at me. "A battle of the giants. But have no fear, foot soldier. We shall be there."
"So you will," grins infantry. "Behind us, out of arm's way. But close enough to hear cries for help."
Not the way generals in civilized armies talk to each other, as a rule, especially before their chief. But among experts, outer forms of discipline don't matter too much. The Galas didn't need to stand on ceremony. There was no bitterness in the young men's rivalry. They were laughing at each other. Ahmed was grinning, and Fazl had the kind of authority that doesn't depend on military etiquette. Listening to them,